In this new segment of Advisor Revelations, the DPL team will discuss how to evaluate new solutions and address current challenges and the strategies that can help you grow your firm and AUM.
Hello and welcome to the Advisor Revelations podcast. I'm Jackson Bradley, Regional Vice President of Member Success at DPL Financial Partners. Today, we're going to discuss protected growth in annuities and some of the strategies that Tyler and I, both consultants at DPL, have been using with our advisors and ways that we found success with their RIAs. I'd like to introduce our guest, who is Tyler Commissar. He's a consultant at DPL, like I mentioned. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Jackson. Happy to be here today.
Awesome. So before we start the discussion, I want to remind our listeners to please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite streaming app for updates. If anything we talk about today interests you, be sure to connect with the DPL consultant if you're already working with them, or you can go to our website, www.dplfp.com. So Tyler, so that our listeners have a better understanding of the business that you're doing and your experience, can you share a little bit more about yourself and DPL and how long you've been with DPL so far?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So I've been with DPL just coming up on 3 years now. Actually, next month will be my third anniversary here. So I'm one of the internal consultants here. So primarily my role is working with advisors day to day, case design, mostly product education, just helping them understand, you know, exactly functionally how these products work, but also strategically where they may be a fit for their clients and how to implement them, you know, within their portfolios and practices that they're already running.
Awesome. And just to jump right into the topic that we're discussing today, I mentioned before protected growth. And on that front, what are you hearing from the advisors that you're working with day to day? Why are clients looking for protection in a portfolio?
Yeah, great question. And I think there's several different reasons that clients may be looking to add a layer of protection to their portfolio. Just a couple of the reasons that I've heard, right? One, just ongoing market volatility. I know I've heard from advisors that market volatility is a concern for their clients, and, you know, potentially looking to take some of that risk off the table can provide the peace of mind that, you know, a client may need. So I think just one thing in general, market volatility is definitely a reason that clients would be looking for protection, particularly those that may be in the fragile decade. So the 5 years before and after retirement, where a bad sequence of returns can really put a strain on the portfolio throughout a client's retirement. So I think, you know, particularly if clients kind of in that fragile decade range, it really does make a lot of sense to de-risk the portfolio, to begin to do that and take some of the risk off the table there. And then, you know, there's always political concerns such as election years that also can tend to have clients in a panic sometimes. I know we typically see pretty good years for the market, you know, throughout election cycles. But, you know, I think just adding to the political pressure and uncertainty there, also taking some of that risk off the table is definitely a benefit that a lot of clients can see and utilize. That's a couple of the things that I've heard. I don't know anything else that you've been hearing or?
Yeah, no, I definitely have heard all three of those points that you've mentioned from my advisors and, you know, talking about some of the protected growth products that we've been using as of late. One other thing that I think advisors are starting to talk about more and more is that we're seeing all-time highs in the market and kind of corresponds with the fragile decade that you mentioned in de-risking the portfolio. But there are clients that want to lock in those gains and make sure that they don't see a correction happen to their portfolio. Clients often are happy with the returns that they've gotten as of recent, and they're like, all right, you know, maybe I'm good. Maybe we should start toning it down a little bit and settle in knowing that this is my nest egg for retirement. Again, you know, the fragile decade, I think, is really, really important, especially when talking about retirement situations. So getting into a little bit more of these specifics with the protected growth, you know, we talk about vague products, but there's a few different ones that I know you and I are both using with advisors. I think the first would be MYGAs. The second would be traditional fixed index annuities. And the third being RILAs or registered index-linked annuities, also known as buffered annuities. But specifically on the MYGA front, have you had any interesting conversations? Could you give us kind of a high-level overview of how you're positioning those products in a portfolio?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, Jackson. And kind of to the point that you make there, you know, there really are a few different vehicles that you can kind of use for a protected growth type strategy for your client, you know, really dependent on exactly how risk averse they are or how much risk they want to take. And I think that is, you know, part of what makes having the optionality and customization so powerful. But yeah, to your point, MYGA's multi-year guaranteed annuity, that, you know, traditionally is going to be for your most conservative types of clients who A, do not want to have any risk on the table due to market loss, but B, they're also looking for a guaranteed rate of return, right? So if you think of the acronym MYGA, multi-year guaranteed annuity, it really is as simple as that. These are almost CD alternative-like type strategies where the client gets a fixed rate for a duration, and then, you know, they can reinvest into another term. They could liquidate the policy and reinvest in elsewhere, you know, whatever they see fit. You'd have the flexibility there at the end of the term. But I would say there's a couple of reasons that advisors are really looking at MYGAs right now. One of those is going to be just, it's a way to capture more of your client's wallet share and keep those assets from leaving the door. You know, if you do have clients who are investing in CDs down at the bank or asking about them, this could be a great way to keep those additional assets under your management. But B, and I think more importantly, what else is really powerful about MYGAs is you're not going to see an inverted yield curve the way you do with treasuries. So typically, when you think you're looking at longer duration vehicles, there should be some additional yield there. Right now, that is not necessarily the case with treasuries. But with a fixed annuity, you're not losing any yield by looking at longer durations. You know, we offer anything from 2 to 10 years, but most advisors kind of stick anywhere from 3, 5, 7 years. But you're not going to see that drop off in yield when you're looking at longer durations. So I think, you know, being able to lock in very competitive rates for long durations is really important. It's a way to keep additional assets, you know, in-house. And then also, right, client gets tax deferral with a MYGA where they may not, you know, if they're invested in a CD at the bank, they're going to be paying taxes on that earned interest every year, as could be a great way to get, you know, not only a good yield for a longer duration, but you're getting tax deferral throughout the term. So you're able to compound that growth a little bit more, and, you know, client doesn't realize any taxation until they actually liquidate the policy. That's just a few things I've heard from advisors on, you know, why MYGAs are worth taking a look at. Would you say that's pretty consistent with what you've heard, or anything that you would want to add there?
Yeah, no, I would agree 100%. I think that's a really nice overview, and you gave a couple products that we actually position against, which would be those CDs and treasuries. In my experience, I've actually worked with a few different advisors that really aren't annuity users. They haven't used them in the past, but they see the value in the additional yield that MYGAs can provide over a CD or a bond or a treasury. And because of that, they've actually started laddering these MYGAs, you know, in a 3-4-5 or a 3-5-7. And again, these are guys that really aren't keen on annuities, and you know, that's okay. Maybe you don't have a lot of experience with them. And I think it's just really cool to see people's eyes kind of open and say, oh, wow, these are the rates that I can lock in right now for my client. So I think that they're a great solution right now as a fixed income alternative. And as I mentioned before, there's a few different vehicles that people have been using. We started with the MYGAs, and I just want to work our way up the risk spectrum a little bit. And so next, I'll kind of throw the term FIA out there, and I'd love to hear what you've been talking to advisors about in the fixed index annuity space, and, you know, ways that you've positioned those with their clients. I know they're a little different than MYGAs because there is a little bit more room for upside, but you get that same guaranteed floor. So again, I'd like to hear how you're talking about the FIAs with them.
Absolutely. So I think FIAs can be a very powerful tool when, you know, used correctly within a client's portfolio. So to the point that you made, kind of working our way up the risk ladder, right? So your MYGAs are going to be your most conservative type clients. don't want to lose money due to market performance and want that guaranteed rate of interest. Well, fixed index annuities, they're similarly going to have that 0% floor, right? So client is never going to be able to lose money due to market performance. But as far as the actual crediting strategies go, you know, most of these FIAs do have a fixed account for guaranteed interest. If, you know, client wants to put some of their funds in an account that is earning guaranteed interest. But to your point, they do offer several indexing strategies, right? Most of these policies, there's going to be the S&P, NASDAQ, there may be several different indices that you're able to track. You don't participate in any downside market losses, but you have a cap rate on the upside in which you're able to earn upside potential up to that cap. So typically, and I know we're in a high interest rate environment right now, but you can see cap rates, you know, anywhere from 10 to 12, 13% that you're able to earn on the upside with no downside risk. So for those clients who are conservative, right, they do not want to lose money due to market performance, but, you know, maybe they need a little bit more upside than just a fixed rate of return, right? This is a really competitive vehicle to potentially offer the best of both worlds. You know, we can have some of our money earning that fixed rate of return if we like, or, you know, we can have a heavier allocation into one of the indexes to go for more upside. So I think having that flexibility is very important, right? And you, as the advisor, you are able to adjust your allocation in this once a year with your client. So it, you know, provides room to give ongoing advice and management on these policies. You know, you can reconvene with the client every year. Maybe we think the market is going to do well this year. We want a heavier allocation into the index, or, you know, vice versa. If we think market's not going to do great this year, we can put a heavier allocation into one of the fixed accounts. So I think having that flexibility is really important. But what else is really neat about a lot of these FIAs, particularly in the fee-based space, is you're going to have bond-like liquidity, right? So I know traditionally when you're looking at FIAs, most of those are going to have surrender schedules. But the way it works in the fee-based world, a lot of these policies do not have surrender schedules. They have what's called a market value adjustment, which just, it works just like interim bond pricing. If you were to sell a bond before maturity, they compare rates to where they're at the time you want to liquidate the account versus when the policy was issued. Being in a high interest rate environment today, you know, what I hear from most advisors is that they think rates are going to come down at some point. So having that market value adjustment is actually a positive. You know, if client wants to sell out in 2 years and rates have come down, they would actually be selling out at a premium on top of their cash value. So you have a layer of protection, you have that good liquidity, you have room for upside. And I think, you know, a combination of those three things really make FIAs a powerful vehicle, kind of similarly to the MYGA, sort of a fixed income alternative, bond alternative type strategy. You know, not really going to be an equity replacement necessarily, but I would say that is generally what I've been hearing from advisors, kind of, you know, why they like these types of products and how to position them. Any additional thoughts there?
Yeah, no, I really love the point that you made about the market value adjustment, because coming from the commissionable side, you know, I was an internal over there and talked a lot about FIAs, and those traditionally all had surrender schedules. You're getting locked in at a minimum 5 years, some of these going up to 10 years. And the advisory space has really pivoted to fully liquid FIAs when you're talking about just strictly protected growth. So you can kind of get the best of both worlds when you get into an FIA in a high rate environment, because one, the cap rates and the guaranteed interest rates are going to be reflective of that high rate environment. So you mentioned, you know, cap rates upwards of 12, 13%. You're getting into a product with that cap rate. Rates come down, you can sell out for a surplus on top of the cash value, because the carrier is incentivized to get the client out because they have such a good rate. If rates stay steady or rates go up, that's going to be reflected in their renewal rates, you know, the following contract anniversary when they re-up. So really, I think this is a really unique time to get into an FIA. And, you know, if you're an advisor that hasn't really used them before, I think it's just a really strong opportunity to try them out. And so pivoting off of FIAs, going to the last product that we alluded to in the beginning, which is the RILA, also known as a registered index linked annuity, also known as a buffered annuity. If you're not familiar with these, I like to position them as kind of a structured or a buffered note in a tax deferred wrapper. is really the strongest parallel that you can draw for advisors that have used those products, but not necessarily a RILA before. And it's basically taking an FIA one step further in terms of risk. So you're saying with an FIA, you have 100% downside protection, you have a cap rate on the upside. With a RILA, the insurance carrier is saying that, okay, instead of 100% downside protection, we're going to incur the first X percent of losses. So let's just, for example, say we're doing a 10% buffer. Okay, the carrier is going to incur the first 10% of losses. Anything below that, the client would incur. On the upside, you're going to receive kind of a juiced up cap rate because you are taking on more risk. So talking about the RILAs, I've seen a lot of success, again, just comparing them to those buffered and structured notes that people are using with the ability to kind of trade and lock in gains within the account without having a taxable event for the client. And, you know, on top of that, we call it like a standard segment. It's really the most basic version of a RILA. There are other strategies within RILAs that have become very, very popular as of recent. So as far as unique crediting strategies go, Tyler, do you have any other insight or any examples of those and how you've been positioning them?
Absolutely. And that's a great question. And I think, you know, kind of going back to the point we made about the FIAs with just having some of that flexibility as far as, you know, reallocating and being able to provide ongoing advice to your clients. Well, a RILA also kind of takes that customization factor up another level as well, right? So I know you mentioned several different crediting strategies, right? And that is one of the different customizable factors, right? You also have different levels of buffer option if you want to take on a greater buffer so that the client, you know, only incurs losses when the market's worse than, say, 20 or 40%, right? A lot of these policies have those options too. You're typically giving up a little bit of upside to get that bigger buffer on the downside protection. But, right, having that customization is very important. But as far as the different alternative crediting strategies go, most people, when they're thinking of a cap rate, they think of that standard segment, right, where we earn exactly what the index return is up to that cap rate, right? Well, a lot of insurance companies these days have really put some creativity into some of the crediting strategies that they offer, such as there are such things as dual direction strategies where we can actually take the negative return if our client receives a negative return that is within the level of buffer that they chose, right? So if we have a 10% buffer and a return was -8, rather than just getting a 0% return, we can actually get the inverse as a positive return. So the client would see a positive 8% in that situation. So there are some pretty unique strategies where we can actually take years where the market was down or flat and turn that into, you know, really good returns for our clients. A lot of the policies will offer trigger rates as well, where, you know, the index only has to be flat or positive at all. And you're still realizing the full trigger rate is, you know, typically 8, 9, 10%, just kind of depending on where rates are at and everything right now. But another instance where we're able to take a flat market and turn that into a decent return for our clients, and kind of taking that a step further, we can also utilize some of those trigger rates on the downside where essentially, we create a defined outcome strategy for our client. We know if the market return is better than -20, -10, whatever that buffer is, that we're going to get X percentage credited on the upside, regardless if that return is, you know, -9, -7, +1, right? So it really helps us plan for other areas of the portfolio too, when we can kind of create a defined outcome strategy there. But kind of to the point just about overall customization, I think what's really powerful is you can actually combine your allocation between any of these different crediting strategies that we've mentioned, right? You could put, you know, some of it into a 10% buffer, some in a 20% buffer, right? So you can spread out the funds over different levels of buffer, different indices that you want to track, and then the different crediting strategies as well. Right. So there are several different ways that you can kind of really, really take some time and create a plan that's going to work for your client based on what's important to them. Also, just kind of cherry on top, a lot of these policies also allow you the ability to performance lock. So you actually don't even have to wait until the end of your crediting term. And typically these terms are 1 year long. Some carriers offer 3, 5, or 6 year terms, right? But it provides additional flexibility where if, you know, we're halfway through a term, but the client is satisfied with where the market return is at, they can actually go ahead and lock in those gains, get back in another crediting strategy right away, and basically reset their, you know, level of buffer on the downside. So I think just the overall levels of customization that are available in some of these policies, you know, not to mention that there are typically no fees associated with these policies, and they're also fully liquid in some instances, I think can be really powerful. They can be complex vehicles. We're kind of just scratching the surface on some of the different things that you can do within those vehicles. But, you know, I think just this is a really a good way for you as an advisor to provide value to your client, right? You know, this is not something that every advisor is going to be doing. This could really be a good way to potentially distinguish yourself from competition and other advisors in the area as well. So I think that's just a couple of the different crediting strategies and ways I've seen advisors position that. Anything else that you're hearing from advisors?
No, I think you really dove into some of the complexities and made them a little easier to understand, for especially for advisors that have not ventured into that space before. So appreciate it. And, you know, as we wrap up today, I do want to encourage everyone to register for the DPL website. On there is a portal called My DPL, where, you know, we're adding tools all the time. But specific to this conversation that we've had today, you know, we have live MIGA rates that you can shop at that are going to be reflective of exactly what those carriers are offering. We have a tool called Explore Annuities by Goal, where you put in the goal of the client, their age, take all those parameters into account and look at some simulations where, okay, in a bull market, this is what the ideal product would look like when you're looking at protected growth. In a, you know, a down market, this is what the ideal product would look like. So really taking those simulations into account and being product agnostic and just helping advisors understand exactly what's out there and what's going to benefit their clients. I really didn't have anything else, Tyler. I appreciate the time. If you have any closing thoughts, I'd love to hear them.
Absolutely. And I, again, appreciate you having me on here today, Jackson. Yeah, kind of to the point you made, definitely, if you haven't done so, check out our website. Feel free to register for an account and play around with some of the tools there. I think that is, you know, part of what makes the DPL platform so powerful is that we try to provide the tools and technology necessary for advisors to do their own diligence, do their own research. But, you know, we are a consultative firm, always here to help. If you have questions, don't hesitate to reach out. Typically get a hold of us via email or phone number. But, you know, we're always happy to explore different client situations and scenarios and try to work with you and see, you know, exactly if where we might be able to help, or, you know, if something like what we talked about today could be a fit.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again, everyone listening, for being on with us today. And again, if you want to connect with us, the URL is dplfp.com. Also, a reminder to subscribe for more episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. To hear more advisor revelations, go to dplfp.com and subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming app.